Hey, good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Coming up this hour, we're going to get updates from the USD 383 Manhattan-Ogden School District as well as the Manhattan Fire Department as they are celebrating Fire Prevention Week this week. We started things off though with the school district and, well, hopefully we've got our guests there still.
You got this?
I was connected.
I can hear you, Brandon. Okay. I can hear you, Dave.
Hi.
I can hear you as well.
Okay. Good.
I'd like to be heard.
My computer was saying connecting, so I was afraid we got disconnected temporarily.
I know, me too.
All right. So we have Marvin Wade, superintendent, Katrina Lewison, school board member as well. Thank you both for being here today.
You bet.
Yeah, glad to be here, Brandon.
Well, we've got a school board meeting here tonight, and 6:30 p.m. is when it starts. A lot of people have been interested lately in what's going on in the schools because, you know, this has been a challenging start to the year. I know this is a kind of unprecedented times we're living in. We're tired of hearing that phrase, but a lot of decisions still yet to be made, and there will be some discussion a little bit tonight on kind of where we're at here with reopening.
Yes, that as you remember, we had a board meeting on September 16th where the board decided supported us in staying in the hybrid model for our on-site students through October 22nd. Then on the September 23rd, we had a board work session to talk about some of the pros and cons of hybrid. What are some of the expectations that the board wants us to keep in mind as we move forward with looking at options, knowing that COVID is probably not leaving our community anytime in the near future. So since that work session on the 23rd, we have got survey results from parents and staff. We've had several medical advisory meetings, been looking at instructional delivery options. So tonight, it's not an action item tonight, but we will have an informational portion of the meeting talking about what we found out from those survey results, looking at our gating criteria, just having a conversation with us as a team as far as what options that are out there, which ones are we comfortable moving forward with, kind of looking at that risk-benefit equation for our district where we're at, because the numbers are getting better, but they haven't got dramatically better where it's easy for us to make a decision of what to do next.
And I just want to jump in here to comment on what Dr. Wade said. This has been a challenging time for everyone involved, for families and for the board and the administration, and especially for teachers. And I second what Dr. Wade said, that we're trying to do a balance on safety and education. And what really struck me as we went through the past two board meetings was that we are approaching this both, board members and administrators, as both parents and as board members or administrators, because we are living through this ourselves in many cases. So me, for instance, I have my girls in the hybrid model. And so here I'm speaking to you from my house, and all three of them are sitting at home doing their schoolwork today, because today would be a remote learning day. So it's very challenging. And I say those comments because I'm making decisions, and I think other board members and administrators are making decisions with that firsthand perspective of what it's like for our families.
You know, I heard...
I'm sorry, Brian. I also want to add, almost every time we have an opportunity to say, this isn't just a school district issue. This is a community. I mean, it's a global pandemic, but it's a community-wide effort that it's going to take for us to really be able to open up the schools. I know people get tired of hearing it, but it's true. And that we need to wash our hands. We need to wear our mask. We need to social distance. We need to be aware of those things and how important they are for each of us to do them for us to achieve this goal of opening up. We want the students back in school. We want everybody to be safe in school learning, because we know that's going to be the best approach, but we just can't do it until the numbers say it's safe enough to warrant us taking that chance. And we're not there yet. We're getting better, like I said earlier, but we just all have to continue to be vigilant and doing the things that will help us open back up. And we just can't let down, even if we get tired of it.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting. I heard the comments made by Randy Watson, the education commissioner, last week. I think he's urging schools to to try to get back to a 5-day a week schedule if possible. When you hear comments like that, and knowing, you know, obviously that's the end goal here at some point, you know, how important is it for you guys to do that here, maybe before the end of the year? Is there a timeline at all here associated with this?
No. I just didn't want to speak over Katrina if she's going to say something there. It's when the metrics allow us to, knowing we need to give people time to adjust, that we can't just say, you know, starting next Monday, we're going to make this switch to all distance learning or to bringing all the students back who are on-site students, that it will take time. That one of the reasons for the conversation tonight is to bring people up to date on what we've talked about in the last 2 weeks, where we're at with that, but also to plant the seed for people of options that are coming down the road and to get them thinking about what does that mean for it, like in Katrina's situation with her children at home, for other families, for staff to be able to start thinking about the things we're thinking about now and to be transparent about it, knowing that there really can't be a timeline for us to say at this point in time, this is what we're doing. It's got to be a little bit more fluid than that.
Well, and to second that, the board really thought that it was imperative that we keep open lines of communication with parents, family members, teachers, because of what Dr. Wade just said, that it does take time to switch. And so when we looked at what we needed to do for this present time, we recognized that hybrid was, although challenging, it is working and it is giving our district the flexibility to continue to educate despite the increased numbers that we saw in Riley County over the past month. However, we recognize that the time that it needs to switch over to bringing everybody back in person requires coordination for families and for teachers and administrators. So we did vote to continue to extend that out through the end of this quarter, which is just about the end of October. And then that way it could give family members and teachers time to react to that. So I would like us to continue to figure out how to bring all of the kids back, which was always the original intent. And I think that all of our board members and administrators said that as well. Let's do the best thing possible, which would obviously be in-person learning, but we have to balance that, of course, with safety.
And Brandon, I want to go back on something I said earlier about when you asked about a timeline. I said that can't be something along the lines, it can't be etched in stone, but in reality, we do have to have some kind of timelines, just like the example was just given, the October 22nd. People needed to know how long the hybrid was going to be in place. And the board administration were comfortable with October 22nd based on looking at the metrics we have, the information we had from medical advisory, those kind of things. So it was an informed decision. Same kind of thing like tonight, we will talk about, you know, how far into the future do we want to be looking at? What steps are we going to be taking in that interim time to make a decision at that time about what we're going to do in the future? That's kind of vague, but it's letting people know the things we're looking at, when a decision will be made so that they can start planning for that. So that will be part of the conversation tonight, would be, you know, what's the next kind of milestone for us in terms of date we're shooting for? And that's something that came out in that work session. During the work session, the board talked about looking at our students that are most at risk. What are we going to do to address their needs more soon? How are we going to be able to provide meals? As Katrina said about the engaging in the planning, that full-time face-to-face instruction in schools, what are the factors we have to identify and deal with in order to be ready that when it is the right time for us to bring all the students back, are we going to be prepared for that? And that's certainly my goal. I don't want us to be in a position where we hear in 2 weeks, it looks like it's going to be a really good opportunity to bring students back on site and not be ready for it. So I certainly don't want that to happen.
I might ask, how much merit should parents put into the county's percent positive report? Because I remember about a month ago, when that was starting to go up, there was concerns that when it got up to like 30%, we were going to see maybe a switch to all distance. It's actually gone down. It's now under 10%. And I know that 10% threshold isn't the end all be all, but how much merit should they put into how that rate is trending?
That's one of the factors we look at. I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket. It's one of the metrics we look at, and that's one of the reasons why that initial chart we had, speaking with the medical community, looking at other factors, looking at the seriousness rates of it, what different age factors are being involved. And that's, we're going to talk about that tonight with our revised gating criteria, that it's not just that positivity rate for Riley County. It's what's it doing in certain age groups. How many of our students and staff are being quarantined? Because in a lot of ways, while we're definitely concerned about the students and keeping them safe, there's a greater likelihood of us being shut down because of a lack of staff. Mm-hmm. So we're really watching that quarantine. It's not just how many test positive, it's how many are being quarantined because of peripheral factors. They've been around somebody who has tested positive, so they're quarantined and out of action for us as teachers or other staff.
All right. Katrina, did you want to respond at all to that?
Sure. Yeah. I think that the positivity rate is a factor, but as we saw over the past month, the original gating criteria would have had a shutdown. And it was clear from our community that there wasn't that appetite to swing the pendulum all the way to one side and to say, oh my, the numbers have gone up by this one criteria, and so therefore we need to shut down our schools. We weren't comfortable doing that altogether. So the hybrid model did give us that flexibility to address that we could keep the schools open, but also it gave us the flexibility to address the staffing issues. And you know, I think that the comments that I have received from community members and families it's all from the perspective of that individual, of course. So some family members are very concerned about the social emotional well-being of their students, that students need to be in class around their peers. Some are concerned for the health risk, that they don't want to send all of the students back because of reduced social distancing. And then there's, of course, the teacher perspective. I think that was a really key part of my understanding on what was the additional stressors to our teachers. And it's a little bit hard to understand unless you put yourself in the shoes of those teachers. So if you take, for instance, a middle school teacher, they might be having to develop essentially three different curriculums or three different daily to-do lists, one for a group A, which would be a Monday, Tuesday group, one for a group B, which would be a Thursday, Friday group. And then some of those middle school teachers are actually teaching the hybrid kids and the 100% remote kids. So then there would be the remote group. So if you can imagine from a teacher's perspective, that's very challenging. Instead of just coming up with one curriculum or one to-do list for your day, you're now having to think through, okay, what are my assignments that I want this group of students to do? What are the due dates? How do I present that information in an online system? So that's a lot of logistics, a lot of planning. And we put all of that onto teachers very quickly at the very last minute. And ask them to learn a brand new system, a software system of, it's called Canvas. That's the system that the teachers are using. But that's very challenging to ask a teacher to do all of that very quickly within a week or two's notice. So I do have to give a shout out to our teachers that they have risen to the challenge, and every single week I've seen improvements in how they are engaging with their students. So that was a heavy lift that we asked them to take on, and I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I got to take a break. We'll come back. We will continue our discussion here with school officials, talk about some of the other agenda items tonight. You're listening to News Radio KMAN's In Focus.